Welcome to the Finance and Governance meeting. I am Kathy Hogarty. That was my cat, Mao, that just left the meeting. And I welcome Cynthia Delstrinus-Johnson. I am chairing in lieu of Zach Edun, who is not here today. And Kate Kroller, Council President Kate Kroller, will be joining us very soon. We'll get started just so that we can keep on time. We've got a 7 o'clock meeting backed up to this. So the first item on the agenda is the monthly general fund update, and Tony is here.
Yeah. Hello, council members. Welcome, and I will be giving the general fund budget to actual report this evening. And so this is a brief monthly report of general fund activity as of September 30th and speaks to the budget to actual results. So the general fund department expenditures totaled $42.5 million through September, and this is $92,000 under the allocated budget of $42.6 million. And this represents coming in about 0.22% under the allocated budget. And as we've been reporting all year, all departments were operating under budget with the exception of fire. And as of September 30th, fire was projected to come in approximately $900,000 over budget, and this is about one-third of that, $345,000, could be attributed to reimbursable overtime, specifically the COVID testing site and the previously reported repeater malfunction at the mall. And then, of course, I want to remind you that this report is as of September 30th because, as you remember, last week, Council approved the 2021 budget amendment, and in our information memo, we did disclose that based on what we know today, we believe that budget amendment should bring fire within budget for 2021. And then, of course, staff will continue to monitor department budgets closely, and we will always keep Council informed of additional budgetary concerns throughout the end of the year. And that is our monthly report.
Did you ask Kate?
No question.
Oh, Kate, are you here?
I am here. I'm like within a half mile of my home, so I'm just going to listen until I'm out of my car.
Okay, thank you. Just let us know. You go ahead and just interrupt when you're out of your car. All right, so do you have any comments, Cynthia, or questions about this report?
I don't have any questions. It seems like there are no surprises in here. I think for a while, the way we've been monitoring and have known that the fire department was going to be over, I'm glad to hear that the way that things are projected, they'll stay within the amendment that we created. And it looks like at this point, the city's in a good, healthy position. If I'm reading that correctly, we're in a healthy financial position.
Yes, Councilmember, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you, Tony. No further questions.
Yeah, and I don't have any further questions or comments. There's no surprises here. So thank you for this report.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. So I will go on to item B, which is the third quarter investment report. And it says Vicki. Hi, Vicki.
Wow.
And so we're on to item B.
Okay. Good evening. Vicki Carlson, Finance Director for the record. So this is the third quarter cash and investment report. Not a lot of changes since our second quarter report, so I'll just kind of capture the highlights. So as of the end of third quarter, we did have $71.8 million. Most of that, $68.8 million, is cash and cash equivalents. We have $3 million in longer-term investments. Even though the investment rates are still incredibly low, every once in a while, a pretty decent investment opportunity will pop up. So we're trying to take advantage of those as we see them. So that's why we do have $3 million in longer term investments. We do have a chart at the bottom of page 7 of the packet first page of the memo that shows our breakdown. A lot of it is in the LGIP, which is the local government investment pool. It's a little bit better than being in U.S. Bank, but still incredibly low investment and interest rates. Page two, a little bit of an investment interest earnings. Through the end of third quarter, we have $108,000 in interest earnings. A little bit lower than budget, a little bit lower than we had projected to be because, again, with the investment so low, we have not been making purchases because we don't want to be out on the, you know, five-year mark for a little bit higher interest rates. And then if investment rates do go up, we get locked in at the lower rate. So we've been very, very cautious about doing some investing. But again, when investment opportunities do pop up, we're starting to take advantage of those. Page three shows the investment curve for the two-year treasury note. And as you can see, they're still very, very low. There has been anecdotal talk about the Federal Reserve possibly looking at raising interest rates in mid-2022 or early 2023. But there's a lot at work right now in the economy, including high inflation and other factors that could change those plans. So at this point, we're just going with the assumption that interest rates are going to stay incredibly low for the foreseeable future, which is where they've been for the past several years, unfortunately. And on page 11 of your packet shows just where detail of where investment holdings are, and we are in compliance with the policy. And with that, I'll ask if you have any questions.
So, Kathy, are you, I think you were on mute if you were trying to.
I was on mute. Thank you.
Okay. I didn't know you were smiling at me. I wasn't sure. I don't have any questions.
And neither do I. Thank you, Cynthia, for your diplomacy and saying
yes.
And so, yes, I have no questions. Again, this is straightforward. And yes, those interest rates are low. So that's my only comment. And so thank you, Vicki.
Thank you.
And with that, we're on item C. Kate, I don't know where, she's still not quite home. So we'll go on to the committee work plan with Laurel. Thank you.
Thank you, council member. Included in your packet on page 15 is an updated committee work plan. I always like to include these at the end of the year so you can reflect back on everything that you accomplished and see what might still be pending and have an opportunity to ask questions. So if you have any questions about any of these items, please let me know.
Okay, thank you. Cynthia, I'm not going to put you on the spot this time. I'll start because I have some questions. These are questions and comments. They're not like, what's going on with this? It is. It's like, so what's the status of this? What's going on? And so I'll just go down the list. There's a few. So Number seven is a grant application for South 115th, and I was wondering that the grant is complete, but do we have an update on the status of the grant?
Sure, thank you. So I looked at, so this was a joint application with Forterra to King County for the Conservation Futures grant funding opportunity, and it looks like the advisory committee did recommend this project be funded, but I did not see evidence that the King County Council has made final determinations on that. And this would be property acquisition to expand Duwamish Gardens.
Okay, thank you. The next one is number 10. So that's the disposition of the former 52 site. And we had the park, see you in the park. But did we decide that we are not going to sell that property or what's the status of that?
So for the record, Rachel Bianchi, Deputy City Administrator, I think we heard loud and clear that there was not interest in the council in selling that site and wanting to retain it. So we do need to come back to you, and this has been a workload issue. We do need to come back to you to talk about disposition of the site. We did have that CU in the park that you referenced, council members. There was certainly a lot of enthusiasm for having the site, and I mean that in a broad sense, right? Not necessarily the building, but the site be available for a community opportunity, and we'd like to make that happen. I think the administration's still going to recommend that we go ahead and demolish that building for a variety of reasons. So we'll work on getting back to you as soon as we can. So thank you.
Yeah, that's a good update. Thanks. We're definitely going to keep the property and probably going to demolish the building for many reasons that we've talked about in the past. And they're all regarding safety, really. Basically, they all regard safety and financial, both two things. Okay. The next one is along the same lines, the new Porter land sale. That's at the bottom of the page. What's the status of that?
I had an opportunity to speak briefly with the Economic Development Administrator, and right now the focus is on the George Long site, but as far as the new Porter site, they're waiting for a potential update to that zoning, and that could be a work plan item for next year.
Okay, great. So that's a zoning thing. And then the last one is, again, along the same lines, the Long Acre parcel land site status.
Yep, Mr. Speck told me that he plans to, that's definitely a work plan item for next year.
Okay, those are my questions. I just wanted to know where we were with those, and it looks like we did great this year. Thank you, staff, as far as completing things when I know your plate was full. So thank you. Cynthia, do you have any comments or questions?
No, you answered, or you asked my questions about the last two. So, yeah, good job, Kathy. I don't have any further questions.
Okay, so we will then go on to our returning to, Kate, welcome. Good to see you. Were you able to listen to the work plan, or do you have any questions about that, or are we coming in a little late for that?
Nope, I've been listening all along, and I thought your questions were good, and I have no additional questions.
Thanks. Wonderful. Okay, so we will go on to the return to in-person and or hybrid council meeting, which would be Kendall. Laurel?
Yes, thank you. So this is a discussion item tonight because we've been trying to check in periodically with council and committee about things like technology improvements and just the potential to return it to in-person meetings. People keep asking me, council members and staff, and I don't have a crystal ball. I can't give you a date, but this is a council decision on when you're comfortable to come back. And so I included a memo that has some considerations I think that you should think about. I'm not going to read the memo to you, but basically, you know, you responded very quickly to the pandemic by transitioning to virtual meetings. I think that just went so well, and the participation from the public has seemed to increase. So those are humming along. The other agencies in King County that I'm aware of are still doing their virtual meetings. Earlier this year, this committee gave unanimous support to staff to do a robust technology upgrade in the chamber as well as the meeting rooms to make sure that you can accommodate more public participation in the future with hybrid meetings. And then the council recently directed some ARPA funds to that effort. In the meantime, the TIS department, who are on the line, put in some interim solutions that allow hybrid meetings in the chamber and committee rooms as of now. And so that's why you can see Ms. Bianchi sitting in the council chamber, because we wanted to demonstrate to you what this would look like. So it's something that supports this topic. Other things I wanted to mention is that employees are still working remotely. I believe there's going to be some return to the office in January. Other agencies are doing something similar. I didn't do a comprehensive survey to find out what other agencies are doing with their council and commission meetings, but though I did check around, then I looked online, and I couldn't find evidence that any other cities in King County are doing full in-person meetings yet. I reached out to some of our neighbors, and they want to implement the hybrid technology before moving forward with that. So really, I meant this to be a discussion item. So if this is a council decision to return to hybrid meetings, what information would you need or be comfortable with to make that determination? The status right now is, if you said next week we're going to be in the chamber, you could see that we could do it as far as technology. It would allow the public to continue watching remotely. As far as the state recommendations, you don't have to be physically distant and you don't have to reduce capacity, but you would have to wear masks. So with that, I'll turn it over to the committee for discussion and questions.
Okay, is Joel sitting at one of the council seats? Could you put him on camera so we can see what that looks like? Hello, you've got your hand raised. So would we have a close-up of council members when they're talking? Joel?
Sorry. So the experience would be very similar to what you had before. The same camera controls in the back. They would move to who's speaking. For example, if a council member was remote, like now, so now the DS is highlighted, we can spotlight that council member during times of reports when they have like sustained conversation of what they've been up to for the previous.
Okay. Could you put your mask on and talk and let's see how that sounds?
Yeah. So okay. I'll make sure I get nice and close. Do you hear me okay with my mask on?
Yeah, was wondering about how it would sound if you were masked. So, talk from a little farther away. We're experimenting now. Just say, I don't know.
Can you hear me a little bit further back?
Yeah, it's okay. Okay, it's okay. Yeah, all right. Thank you. So that's good. So we'll go on to discussion. And Kate, I hope I'm not putting you on the spot by starting with you. Cynthia got to start a couple rounds. So go, Kate, tell us what's on your mind with this.
I have a couple of questions. Do we feel like we'll be opening it up to audience as well? Like, can they come to the and testify?
Yes, this can support remote participation for public comments or reports or special presentations.
Councilmember Kruller, I think that would be a council decision. For example, what if you said we will return to the option to have the council members in person, but we want the public to attend virtually? I think that that's something that is within your control at this point.
Okay, and then if they do attend virtually, and we're in the chambers, are we going to have a monitor so we can see a person when they testify online?
Yes. So I'm standing here at the, where the usual community input is, and then I will go ahead and turn my monitor around so that you can go ahead and see what my camera around so that you can see what the monitors look like. So give me 1 second.
So as she's doing that, so you see a spotlight of me right now. Of the DS, we see everyone else's on the screens. We see everyone's camera.
Okay. Got it. All right. And so whoever's talking, that's going to be in the big picture, and then we'll see whoever's testifying down the side, or will we see them in the main picture?
So we're thinking as we approach this that the DS would always be spotlighted. For the most part, except for like reports. And if someone's speaking at the lectern, giving public comments, the camera would zoom in on them.
Okay.
If someone is giving public comments remotely, we could spotlight them.
Got it. So in a nutshell, I think the sooner we get back together, the better. It was unappealing to me when you first said, we have to have the masks on, but as I'm watching this, nothing's different. And I think what I would stress is focusing on bringing the main council back to the meetings in the council chambers. I think the sooner we do it, the better we can practice, get our patterns down before two new council members get in here and we have a whole lot of adjustments to make all at once. I've been trying to imagine how it is we're going to do the signing ins and all the things online for the swearing in. And so that, to me, is the most important reason to get back into the chamber. Everything else seems doable. I'm not saying I don't care if I have a mask on. It sounds like the sound is just really clear. And I'm supportive of all that. I am less supportive at the moment of switching the committees out yet. I don't think, I think the way they're being run right now and recording those meetings is really useful to the public. So I'm see your hand up, Laurel, and I'm guessing that that question is not on the table right now. Go ahead.
We're very interested in hearing feedback on committee meetings as well. I would just offer, when this subject came up at the council retreat, somebody made a very good point that the timing, if council members are attending the committees remotely at home and then having to get to the council chamber for in person at 7, that could present a logistical problem. If you all sure. wanted to commit to committees being over by 6:30, 6:45, maybe it could work.
But I don't even know if that's the question before us tonight, because right now you're saying council chambers are open, which is not where these committees are held. And would we, in fact, want to go back to meet in person? And I actually think the more transparent, the better. I do lose our facial expressions, but I know I personally have been absolutely crippled technologically, and I think it's better to get back in the chamber, have everybody have the same look and feel, be in the same room, talking to each other again. Madam Chair?
Yes. Okay. Thanks, Kate. I was just making sure that you'd said everything. We can always go back around. So, Cynthia?
I'm in favor of having us come back to chambers. My only concern is that, you know, staff not be required to present in person, because while we live in the city, there are staff who don't, and if they could present online and it's just fine that way, I'm okay with that. So, you know, I don't know how the rest of you feel. I think it would be great to bring us back. I mean, our seats are far enough apart, and I believe all of us are vaccinated at this point. And I know that there are some people in the community who prefer to come to the meetings in person, and that's fine. I'm just wondering, like, what level of staff involvement in person is necessary to make these happen, just so we're considering that perspective as well and what it takes. And for committees, you know, I'm fine with committee ending at 6:30. I think I'm one of the committees that goes longer, and so I would be impacted. This particular committee, Zach, moves it so fast that we're always out by 6:30, but community services and safety, for some reason, I haven't gotten the cadence down. That one goes long, but I think it's fine to end. I could end the meeting by 6:30 and figure out how to structure the agenda to be able to get through everything to end on time so that I can make it to the council chambers.
Rachel, you have a comment.
I'm happy to answer your questions, Councilmember Jones-Johnson, because I think they're really good ones, and I appreciate the thought about staff. So this does require, we have Will in the back in the peanut gallery. So Will is actually working pretty hard. He's moving the cameras around. That's an important function. And then I would also argue that we would need to have a city clerk in physically here. I think of the city clerk as, you know, not only working for you, but also sort of the host of the meeting for any public who came or anything like that. So I think at a minimum, you would have to have at least those two staff. I would argue probably just at least one more that we could rotate around just to make sure, you know, there's always strength in numbers. So I don't know if anybody else, Joel, that's what we talked about. Want to make sure I'm not misrepresenting anything,
yeah.
But two or three staff minimum in person.
That's right on. So thank you for sharing that. So if staff was presenting remotely, or some other community stakeholder is presenting remotely, the big TV screen that's right in front of the DS you look at, that's where you can see the information being shared. So if I was to share something, it would be on that big screen right there. And if that isn't quite large enough to meet your needs, you can also bring your laptop in to look at the content being shared also. And it's also in your packet. So you'll have a number of different ways to view the content if the screen's not large enough.
Okay. So is that the extent of your questions for now, Cynthia? All right. Thank you. So I have a couple of questions about just the how this works. So if we, the screen would be up where we could look at it as council members, like we, like you're, looks like you're looking at something. We'd be looking at a screen right there, or we could have our computer on with obviously the sound turned off and we could be watching it there and.
Yep. All of the above. Plus remember, you'll remember there's monitors on either side, plus the monitor kind of behind the youngest tenure on the dais.
So my main questions have to do with staff. I think as a council, we're pretty, well, it's all about relationship and being close. So that's really important to us, as my fellow council members have said. But not really quite sure what's happening with staff, with mandating staff. Especially the city clerk doesn't have quite as much flexibility because there's really only two that can do that job. So they would have to come back. And I'm not, I'm just throwing things out, thoughts out. I'm not saying, I don't want to put a value judgment on them right now. I want to just talk about them. So they would have to come back. Currently right now, there's a lot in flux as far as the pandemic and variants and governor's orders and things like that. So we would want to take that into consideration. Do we want to synchronize with the staff's return to the office, or what would that look like? That's another consideration. What else do I have? It looks like the masks are not going to be too much of a problem as far as speaking into the microphone. I'm going to ask my fellow council members, if I said there's a pressing reason for us to get back just because of safety concerns, how would you respond to that? And I'll start with Cynthia. I'll go the other direction.
I'm trying to understand your question better. Like, are you asking about the safety concerns of the staff in bringing it and like weighing it against our need to come back in person? Like, is that what you're...
That would be something that we would need to consider. That would be a good thing to talk about. So yes. How important is it that we get back? And again, no value judgment, just, you know, parsing the topic. How important is it to get back as opposed to whatever is happening on the staff level?
I really like your questions about where things are in bringing staff back in person. I do, however, think that there are pieces missing to our job as council members in terms of being able to effectively collaborate with one another. And for example, I met with Tom we met on last Sunday, and we just realized there's a lot that we're missing in not being able to like do our job together in person. So what I need in order to feel like I'm making my best decision is to ask those who are going to be asked to be in person their perspective on this. And I also want to know, David and Rachel's thoughts about, having the staff present for the meetings. Maybe they recommend we'll do once a month in person or every other week in person. Like those are considerations that are important to me because I really do care about the what we're asking the staff to do, the clerk and Will in the back to run the meetings. And I'm willing to find a way to make it work where everybody's in agreement to this, because I know that there are levels of uncomfortability in coming in person. And so I care about their perspective.
Okay. And I have another question for you, and Kate, these will be the same questions for you. What about safety concerns for the, for
counselors?
What?
I never got to answer the first question.
You want to? Okay, sure. We can go back and forth. Yeah. Fair enough. Okay. Sure.
So for me, I think the calculus is pretty simple. We went away from being open to the public, their ability to assemble together with their leadership, for our ability to exchange with each other because of a mandate. And what I'm understanding from Laurel's testimony is that mandate does not exist to the fullest degree anymore. So then what is our excuse for not meeting in person? So for the council, I see none. We should get back and as soon as possible if there's no constraint there. For the staff, what I'm hearing are solutions to testify online. I leave that to David and the mayor to decide what the timing should be for staff. So then what we're left with is the staff that's going to be there because their jobs require it. So Joel or one of his people will be there. I don't know who else the clerk needs to be there, but they're more than 6 feet away from us. And if either of the staff, I don't remember if there's a third person, either of the staff are having a problem and would like to step back from doing that, then they need to take it up with management and have the normal processes go through the normal process to be exempted from it. And I'm hoping that the mayor and David would be kind enough to find substitutes that don't object. I also don't quite understand how we're going to handle this, the gallery. To be all levels of vaccinated or not. I personally don't care because they're far enough away from us, but that doesn't necessarily apply for the clerk, and it doesn't necessarily apply for whatever staff members need to handle the technology piece. But I will say, if the reason we left doesn't exist, then we ought to be back together. No excuses. And I think if there's any way to help people that are resistant for very good reasons on the staff side, we should facilitate that. And lastly, I'll say it again, we've never had a swearing-in process where we weren't in person and the signatures weren't happening and the chair movement wasn't happening. And I've been wondering all this time what that's going to look like online. And I also would think we'd try to get it one meeting sooner, perhaps, because at least one meeting sooner, so we can be in person and give Zach and Werner the proper send-off. So those are the two things on my mind that probably won't play well online. And if we could get it together soon enough for that, I think that would be good timing on the council's part. Okay, go for your next question.
Okay, I see. I'm going to have Laurel has her hand raised, so then I'll have Laurel speak.
This will be pretty quick. I just, listening to Council President Kroller, I want to kind of re-summarize the governor's intent right now. So the proclamation 2028-15 is in effect until the emergency is determined to be complete. And that proclamation requires that councils hold remote meetings, that you provide an opportunity for the public and yourself to participate remotely. There is a new provision that says if you want to have in-person meeting, an in-person component, you have to make sure these safety provisions are met. So the overarching theme is virtual meetings are still required, but you can have in-person component. I just want to make sure that was clear. It's not like everything just opened back up again, because that proclamation is still in effect.
As clear as the governor has been, essentially the constraint from meeting in person has been removed. So the excuse to keep going online, even though he says it, recommends it, whatever he's doing, if he's removed that constraint, then the ability for people to see their government in action and be near their government in action, just the transparency of it, and a lot of other functions I've pointed out that aren't possible or are really awkward online, probably ought to go back into play. Our technology group have shown us they can do it. I don't see anything that's not satisfactory. So I hear what you're saying, Laurel, but he removed the constraints that said you can't meet in person.
That's fair.
Okay. All right. And so thank you both. This is a good discussion, and moving forward will be an interesting one when we get there in a few minutes. And so, Cynthia, the other question I had is, we've talked about staff now. What do you think about council safety concerns? Do you have any comments about that? So we talk about staff concerns, council concerns. Do you have any, or do you have any thoughts on that?
At this point, I'm not concerned about my safety, but I feel more safe now that I'm vaccinated. So I'm not as concerned.
All right. That was the other question. Kate, I'm interested in what you have to say about that, too.
I have no concerns. I think our current council is vaccinated. It'd be nice if we could do some groundwork and see what the incoming council members what their status might be and how they may feel about it health-wise. I think that's an important step, but it looks like we're the most protected ones in the room.
Would there be any concern from the two of you of having some council members be online rather than in the room? Kate.
I have nothing.
Sugarhead. Kate.
I think we either come back to a meeting or we don't come back to a meeting, because that's going to turn into, can I call in from work for council meetings? And that's never been possible before. So if they've got a medical excuse or I guess a religious excuse and they want to lay that on the table, do that. I guess we should entertain the conversation. I just think we need to get everybody to decide whether or not they're healthy enough, feel protected enough to be on the diet.
Okay, so now the next question then, I'm going to come back to my packet and see what it says. The recommendation is the staff is seeking committee discussion on next steps, various considerations in resuming the in-person meetings. What additional information would be useful for the city council to make a determination? So that's the thing. And the suggestions here are like virus transmissions and rate of safety for council members, face coverings, correlation with employee telework status. Does that prime the pump for any questions that the two of you might have? I'll start with Cynthia.
I think the one thing is just input from the staff who are going to be asked to be there, like the mandatory folks, in order for us to be present in person. And then, like Kate said, the input from the incoming council members, I think, is important. So I think those two things.
Okay. Thank you. Kate?
I'll give you a little list again. I thought of something and then it flew out of my brain.
Yep. Virus transmission rates of safety of council members, staff, and the public. Okay. Do you remember?
Are there other councils that are meeting at this point?
So I didn't do a comprehensive survey, but I asked around, I looked online, I looked in a municipal clerks group I'm still associated with, and I didn't find that in King County. Other cities are doing it yet, or King County Council, or City of Seattle, or Port of Seattle. So if you were to, some answers I got were later in 2022. We do expect 2022 when technology is improved, but nobody's doing it yet. Some smaller towns in other parts of the state, yes.
So some of them have been meeting already, yes?
Sorry, an airplane just went over. What did you ask?
So at the very end, I thought I gathered small cities have been doing it in the state somewhere.
So I couldn't find any cities in King County that are meeting in person, but I did see that some small towns in other parts of the state are.
Yeah. And, you know, my church is meeting and we're not having outcrops of spread. I just think we're at a point where I'm not concerned about it, at least personally. And I, you know, if, you know, assuming the other council members are willing, we've all met in for a great amount of time last spring with no adverse outcomes that I'm aware of. So, I just know the dialogue is healthier when we're in person. And I think we need to be as transparent as possible, as available to the public to be able to come and meet with their government as possible. So I think we should make strides to get back into place. So no, Kathy, I don't see any other outstanding. If there was a, you know, variant Z that came and they said, oh my gosh, it's spreading like wildfire, I think we'd revisit this and go back to what we've been doing. But I think we ought to get back, barring any real reason, science reason, I think we ought to get back together.
Again, I'm thinking ahead to what our next steps are going to be, and I am very open to your suggestions. So I'll just say a few things here. So we need some input from staff, input from council members. Basically, we need input. And I don't hear asking for any data type information. It's more like how do people, what's their sense of safety type input? Is that true? So we're really on the data.
How many meetings do we have left? Four or three?
Three. I'm counting. I'm looking. There's three meetings left.
Including tonight?
No, four. That's four including tonight.
And we hope to bring this topic to the council tonight?
That's okay. So it's not on the agenda. And Laurel, you had a question. That's that answer. It's not on the agenda. Laurel, did you have a question?
Well, I'm quickly pulling up a calendar while you're talking, but just a reminder, next week is off. It's the fifth Monday. So I don't know if that was in your count, but I have tonight one. I show three meetings left, including tonight.
I don't know how to count. Right. So we've got two meetings left in December. Yes.
I apologize. It's not on tonight's agenda, but you could certainly entertain a discussion under miscellaneous as an option.
Okay. I think we do that. And then the only goal would be is could we basically do a practice run on our last meetings, and that would allow us an opportunity to do presentations to the outgoing council members, because I don't believe they come to the next meeting, and it'd be nice to do that with dignity if we could. So that's my one thought. Other than that, you can wait till next year, I guess, and do everything and hope to God it works while the swearing in occurs.
So, Council President, there is nothing stopping you. I have no objection, or I'm not going to be making faces at you online or something, turning my camera off. If you bring this up during miscellaneous, and I think at this point you might be the appropriate person to do it, because it is going on to the broader subject. Although I'll be reporting out, I'll report out what the topics were, and then if you would like to bring that up, we council members don't tell each other what to do, right? So, whatever you want to do beyond that, Kate. So, I will bring it up, and we can see where that goes. I do think there's some groundwork, which we've talked about, and that is talking to staff and talking to fellow council members. And so maybe we can get all that sorted out by the 13th, or maybe not, or I'm willing to just move forward with the discussion tonight and asking you basically if you would tee that up rather than me.
Have to take it up in miscellaneous. We don't have an executive session. We have a quick special meeting, right, Laurel?
Okay. Yes, that's correct.
So we can introduce the idea, and then the opportunity to really weigh in heavily would be in the next meeting under I don't know what agenda item. If everybody seems copacetic, no big deal, but it seems like we'd be making a decision in the next meeting. And then if we make it in time for the 13th, it's only for sentimental reasons, but also the ability to practice a little before we have a much more ceremonial and formal process go on in the first meeting of the year. So, and that doesn't happen like on January 1. It happens a couple weeks in, right? So I appreciate that.
To respond to Council President's comment, the oaths of office are typically done at the very first meeting in January, which is January 3rd.
Oh, yeah, first week. Okay. For some reason, I thought it was kind of a week later.
Well, my thought is we might get a really good sense right away, right? If the rest of the council is aghast at this, then, you know, then this will move point. So it probably would be good to bring it up. The other suggestion, we don't do this very often, but you could move to amend the agenda to add it to special issues, and or we should just do it in miscellaneous.
But I don't, I don't mind doing that either. I'm going to take advice from Laurel on that, but give me 2 seconds, Laurel. We just talked quite a bit, and there's only three of us. So we're going to have to leave room for discussion on this. If everybody's ducky, then great. But I don't want to curtail the discussion if they need time to absorb it, go home, think about it, and come back. Laurel, hands up.
Yes, Laurel. What do you think? Where do you think it'd be best to tee it up? What's your thought?
I think that miscellaneous tonight or reports out from the chair or a combination of both would be a good time to let the other council members know that you had spent time discussing this topic and that there were a variety of factors that there are to consider. And then I can work with Council President Kroller on how to schedule a more formal opportunity. I did just want to throw out there that your last meetings of the year tend to be a little bit longer. And so for testing out a new technology with all the council members, it gives me a little bit of pause there.
Yeah, and we can look at what is on the right now. So if you look on the back of our COW, Laurel, you can see what's right now on that agenda. But do you think they're going to be adding more things to that? Or maybe Rachel, who might know that? Maybe you don't have that in front of you to answer that.
I was just peeking at it, Council Member. So, you know, you will likely have 2 executive sessions both those evenings, right, which is also in my calculus here as we're thinking through an hour for each of those. And then you're going to have, as I'm looking at the agendas, once you add those in, I mean, we are all good at doing late nights, so... And we're here to serve and we'll do that. But something for you to consider is you are figuring out the new technology, right? Doing that in the midst of all of the stuff. So, but we're here to support whatever you'd like to do.
And when you think,
I'm thinking only the last meeting of the year for the obvious reason, and that they'll give us a dry run at what it's like. And I guess at the end of that meeting, we could say this is awesome, or we can do this. We'll see you next in the new year, or we might have a chance to reflect on it. So I think waiting till the first of the year is a really bad idea. I think we ought to have one dry run in there.
I just have a clarifying question for Rachel. Did you say there's 2 executive sessions, one on the 6th and one on the 13th, or 2 on the 13th?
That's correct. One on each night for an hour long each. So Now those could come off. So as these things sometimes do, but at this point we're planning for an executive session each of those evenings.
Thank you.
And then you will also have, on the 6th, you're going to have a robust discussion about COVID response, and what Human Services has done and that sort of thing. And evictions, and then the following week you have a little presentation on a little teen and senior center project that y'all came up with. So there will be some robust conversations, not to mention other items.
It's pretty quiet.
Okay, so council members, do you feel like we're at a good point, we have an idea of what we're going to do moving forward. There'll be a discussion tonight, and who knows what we'll do after that, because like I said, we could get just shut down, you know, one way or the other, or something else. So, or we could just say move forward, or other ideas might come out. So, yeah.
Laurel has her hand up.
Laurel, sorry.
I wanted to throw an idea out there. You could also plan for and properly notice a special meeting of the council sometime in December on a Wednesday or a Thursday for the specific purpose of testing this out outside of a full meeting agenda.
Okay, so there's another option. All right, so do my fellow council members and staff feel like we've gone over adequately all the things that were on the agenda today? All right, then I will call this meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone, and I'll see you in 7 o'clock. Yes?
Laurel has her hand up.
Oh, Laurel, I'm sorry. I just like to ignore okay. you tonight. That's it. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. I appreciate it, and I'll see you all at 7 o'clock.
Good night.
Good night.